Hi everyone, welcome back to Astrology and You. Today we're talking all about the astrology of May.
Yes, this is a really busy month. There's so much going on astrologically between Jupiter moving into Aries, the eclipses.
There's so much going on. It's crazy. Like when we were prepping for this, I was like, holy shit. Yeah. So we'll get into all of that as we get into the episode. But we just wanted to let you guys know that this is going to be our last episode until the end of summer. We're going on a little bit of a hiatus just because we need a break for now.
Yeah. Yeah. We honestly, we have so many ideas for the fall. And so we're really excited to like make sure we're energized for that. And yeah, Alice and I have a ton going on in our personal lives as well. We're both moving and we have a lot of major work stuff going on. So excited to share that when we come back.
Yes. And as always, like our courses are available in the show notes. We'll put the links to them. Mastering birth charts, applying transits, and our eclipse workshop. So if you want to keep learning astrology this summer while the podcast isn't on, feel free to click those and learn from us.
Yeah, and they're totally self-paced. So it's not like you have to start with us at any time. It's just whenever, if you do feel the call, they're available for you. So a great resource.
Yes, definitely. And I was just going to say, oh, wait, no, you go.
I bet I was going to say the same thing. But yeah, if you also want to follow Alice and I on Instagram, you can follow us over there. I'm Maxine Luthia and she's Stock Alice. So we'll put that in the show notes too if you want to keep in touch.
Aw, thanks. And yeah, I was just going to say it's so interesting that like when we launched this podcast, we made a birth chart for it, like the moment it launched. And these transits that are going on to the birth chart right now makes so much sense as to why we're kind of burned out and we need to take a pause. Our podcast has a Taurus rising and we're recording this right before a solar eclipse in Taurus, and also Jupiter is moving into Aries, the 12th house of our podcast chart. So it makes so much sense why it's like rest, privacy, little downtime from this.
Yes, and why we'll be coming back and in late summer. Like it adds up so beautifully.
Yeah, so if you want to make a birth chart for your business, it's scarily accurate when you apply transits to it to see when your business might be more successful or might need a break. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really love this too, just as a slight detour, but it totally helps you understand. Consistency is really helpful, but I feel like it's not always helpful if your energy isn't there. And so the podcast birth chart has really helped us to work with that, to make sure we're putting things out when we feel super lit up by it, and then letting ourselves rest when the birth chart reflects that energy is needed.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so we have a huge episode this week.
Let's get
right into it. We wanted to start off by just going over how it's still currently Taurus season, and there is a solar eclipse in Taurus on April 30th. So even though that we talked about that a little in the April forecast, it really sets the tone for May. So we do want to touch upon Taurus season and that Taurus solar eclipse, and we're going to go through that by element of rising sign to see how that kind of applies to you.
Yeah, so pay attention to this throughout the whole month, but also knowing that eclipses don't just happen and they're done. They do tend to linger for the next 6 months, like bigger overarching themes and lessons coming your way. So there might be some change that lingers even from what we're about to share with you.
Yeah, it's not so much that like the major event happens on the date of the eclipse, so I wouldn't fixate on these exact eclipse dates, but it's more so, like you said, Maxine, where it takes weeks and sometimes months to see these results play out, and it kind of turns you in a new direction, especially when it comes to the solar eclipse, because that's like new beginnings for the 6 months that follow. So pay attention to like how starting now going into the summer and maybe the early fall of this year, how that may feel noticeably different from like January up until now of this year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a window for change. So yeah, let's get into it by kind of the element of your rising sign. So pay attention to which rising sign you have.
One thing I did want to say before we got into this is that the solar eclipse is conjunct Uranus. I just wanted to say like how that's major change type energy. So when you are listening to this, kind of expect change to happen in this area of life we're talking about, or just like new innovations or fast-paced developments. Like, change is not always bad. It could just mean that, like, you're finally getting that independence or freedom you've wanted in that area of life, or you're getting those results and feedback and, like, opportunities where that area may have felt stagnant up until now.
Yeah, Uranus in conjunction with this eclipse is so helpful for favoring changes coming into your life and also helping you get unstuck if maybe the areas we're talking about you feel a little stuck in a rut or there's a lot of stagnant energy. Uranus kind of comes in like a lightning bolt and asks you to really change things up. So it could bring more favorable or sudden changes.
And even in these like days leading up to the solar eclipse, I started to notice mm-hmm. this like this past weekend. So what was that, like April 23rd, April 24th, a week out, just these like crazy revelations and kind of like insights into career, because the eclipse is taking place in a career sector of my chart. So yeah, see if like you are noticing kind of just getting more insight or like, this is what I need to do. I need to do it now. That type of energy.
Yeah, because Uranus can bring those sudden insights. I love that you brought that up, Alice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's get back to eclipses by element of rising sign. Should we start with fire?
Yeah, you do that one since you're a Leo rising.
Okay, so good news, fire risings, work changes are on the horizon. So this is going to apply to Aries rising, Leo rising, and Sagittarius rising, because the eclipse, solar eclipse in Taurus, is taking place in a workhouse for you. So over the next few weeks and maybe few months, you may notice job changes or a change in your position at work, or just getting more attention and like traction going within your career. So I know for a lot of you, maybe it's felt like there just hasn't been a lot of stuff going on within your career and it's kind of felt stale for a while, or you haven't really known what step to take next in regards to work. This solar eclipse is kind of going to kind of bring in like new beginnings and have you really figuring out how to navigate career moving forward.
Yeah, it definitely can help you to create a fresh start. But sometimes also I would say with a solar eclipse, you might not know exactly when or how you'll get to where you want to go, but it's a great time to start visualizing what it might be that you want changes in with career.
Yeah, it's like you're just starting to get a better picture of like what's next. And we didn't mention this at the beginning, but like these eclipses, they're going to repeat again in the fall. So October, November, when it's Scorpio season, and then again throughout 2023. So like if you think you missed the boat on like a work change or something happening with your career, I wouldn't worry about that, because chances are if it's not happening in the spring, it's probably happening in the fall or the spring of 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something now that might help you maybe have a realization of wanting to pivot in career if you're a fire rising, and then it develops over the next 6 months.
Yeah, and just to differentiate a little, like Leo rising, it might be more of a like prominent role within your career or more attention or major opportunities in regards to work, whereas with an Aries rising, it's more about like self-starting work, like how can I get my own business or make more money or freelance more. Kind of, it's more focused on like money, particularly for Aries rising. And then for Sag rising, it does bring up changes with work and like finding a job that maybe speaks to you more, has a deeper meaning, and taking on different types of responsibilities or managing your day-to-day schedule differently. But it also may involve themes of like health too. So needing to develop healthier habits, like exercising more or eating a different way. So that would play in differently than for the other fire risings.
Yes, exactly. And then for air rising, so if you're a Gemini rising like myself, or a Libra rising or Aquarius rising, this eclipse in Taurus asks you to do a lot more reflection and self-discovery. So it might be that you're spending more time alone or doing more work in the background, needing to really focus on something and get rid of distractions. So keeping to yourself more. And it can also be a really great opportunity to cut ties with the past in some way, or to let go of something to invite in more change and more growth. So maybe you're recognizing areas of your life where you have limiting beliefs that you're ready to let go of, or there's just this huge desire to create distance in relationships that aren't serving you, or basically finding a way to come back to what is really serving you.
Yeah, because you're as a Gemini rising, you're in the 12th house. And thinking about a 12th house eclipse, it is kind of a lot about letting go of stuff that just like is not working in your favor.
Yeah, it's really this culmination of recognizing, okay, now I know what doesn't serve me, and how can I honor that? Because that's like sometimes you know what you need to do, and then when these eclipses happen, as they are for air risings, it does ask you to either work on your healing more or actually put into place what you know is best for you in the long run.
Yeah. And I would say for Aquarius rising specifically, it might be like home related, like you're moving or you're thinking about moving pretty soon, or experiencing like changes in the family.
Yeah. Especially even like Libra rising, I would say sometimes that's a bigger transformation, or even themes to do with intimacy or money. So other themes could come into play there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are kind of heavy eclipses if you're a fire, or not a fire, an air rising.
Yeah, and they can be heavy, especially when you're not letting yourself have time alone. So even since Taurus eclipse season started, I've just been trying to spend more time alone to reflect, to hike, and clear space for myself, that kind of thing, just to make the most of it in a more positive way.
Okay, yeah, that makes so much sense. So I guess we'll move on to Earth risings now. So Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, you guys are going to have the solar eclipse in Taurus and ongoing Taurus season in your first, fifth, and or ninth houses. So this is a lot about like building up a greater sense of self, especially if you're a Taurus rising. And also just to like add in there, these eclipses in Taurus and Scorpio are so major if you're a Taurus or Scorpio rising. Like, this does not happen often where there's eclipses on your rising sign. So particularly in regards to Taurus rising right now, it's like kind of pivoting in a major new life direction. Like maybe you're moving to a different city, or like you're really tapping into a new sense of self. Like, what are these new interests I have? Kind of coming up with new hobbies for yourself, or a different side of your identity. Like when I had a solar eclipse in my first house, I discovered astrology. So It's stuff that's really crazy like that informs later changes that might go on with work or other life developments. But it kind of starts with this Taurus eclipse that would be going on in your first house.
Yeah, and definitely for Earth risings, just this greater desire to take healthy risks, leaps of faith, being more adventurous with things, and allowing yourself to move forward, as you're talking about, Alice. So not feeling stuck in the past, but really letting yourself move forward.
Yeah, and I'd say for Virgo rising specifically, it might have themes pertaining to like foreign travel. So maybe you're like seeing way more of the world than you have before, and going on like making a lot of travel plans for the future, or like you're wanting to sign up for a course and study something more in depth, like back to school type energy. And then with Capricorn rising, it has this emphasis on like creativity, but maybe also like getting into a new romantic relationship over the coming weeks or months. Like there's that emphasis on romance and tapping into that more. And then also pregnancy. So if you are Capricorn rising and like that's something that you're wanting or trying for, this eclipse, the solar eclipse in your fifth house might bring that up for you.
Yeah. And if you don't, leaning into that energy, however makes sense for you. But yeah, definitely for Capricorn risings, I wanted to highlight that too, because that can be really beautiful for just letting yourself, even though Capricorn risings are really focused on work and always having a goal, it might be a time where you're being asked to focus more on being less productive and just letting yourself be more open to creativity and pleasure and romance.
Yeah, like figuring out, I guess, across the board with these Earth risings is like, what are activities or hobbies or stuff you want to learn about that you're really passionate about and that light you up, and that kind of will inform like you figuring out different parts of yourself moving forward.
Yes, love that. Okay, and then water rising, so Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces risings, this has a really beautiful opportunity for you to pay more attention to your relationships and to maybe make some changes there. So, for example, maybe it has to do with wanting to really have friends who have similar interests to you, or you're wanting to deepen your close relationships, especially if you're a Scorpio rising, might have to do with love and building those relationships that really feel important to you.
Yeah, like specifically Scorpio rising, like this could be like you meeting someone significant and getting into a more serious relationship if you are single. So this is a great year to meet someone if you're a Scorpio rising.
Yeah.
And then for the other ones, yeah, it would have to do with themes of like making new friends, joining new communities, specifically if you're Cancer rising. Yeah, that would be 11th house solar eclipse.
Yeah. And then Pisces rising is really great for learning and following your curiosities. So maybe wanting even more variety in your life too, and switching things up there.
Yeah. And like building out, I would say the Pisces rising twist is like, again, bringing in travel. So like Pisces and Virgo risings are kind of the ones that are experiencing the most travel and getting out there and seeing more of the world. But with Pisces rising specifically, maybe an interest in like communication based tasks, like launching a podcast or getting really into like reading or journaling or like writing articles, things like that.
Yes. Okay, so those are the big themes for all of the rising signs. And hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight into where you can make the most of this eclipse energy of the Taurus solar eclipse.
Yeah, and that really, like we said, sets the stage of the rest of the energy headed into May. So that eclipse is very important.
Yeah, and of course, if you do want to learn more about it, this is just the tip of the iceberg, honestly. Mm-hmm. So we do have that eclipse workshop linked below.
Yes. Okay, so now that we're past that April 30th solar eclipse, we're getting into the first week of May. And we got like a sneak peek of Aries energy during Aries season with that new moon in Aries on April 1st. But now we have even more planets going into Aries, starting with Venus going into Aries on May 2nd for a few weeks, but then really Jupiter entering Aries on May 10th, which is like a huge transit that we talked about in our last podcast episode.
And Aries is so beautiful for wanting to take initiative on things and wanting to really just go ahead and do the thing rather than overanalyzing it. So like Venus into Aries is great for taking more initiative in projects or dating life, that kind of thing. And then Jupiter into Aries is huge, and we did a whole podcast episode on it.
Yeah, just to touch upon Venus and Aries, like you said, maybe more being more assertive in your dating life and maybe more proactive about like putting yourself out there, or just being more direct about what you want in your relationships, or like just having more energy to socialize and meet people. So you could notice just like a surge of activity going on in your personal life with both friends and romance.
Yeah. And even finding more of a desire to go after your interests more, like actually take action toward your goals.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, what we saw in April with Aries season going on, like really has set the stage for Jupiter's longer transit of Aries, starting May 10th and going through October 28th of this year, and then returning for a good for the whole first part of 2023. So if you are thinking back to themes that may have come up at that Aries new moon, like now they're kind of more intensified with this Jupiter ingress into Aries.
Yeah, and it's such a beautiful energy to work with basically this whole summer. And if you've been feeling a desire to maybe develop some area of your life related to wherever Aries is in your chart, wanting to expand or even to just put yourself out there in new ways with more confidence, this will help you to really work with that and take a leap of faith there.
Yeah, like it definitely depends on where what house is ruled by Aries in your birth chart, but that's like where you're getting the most growth, opportunities, expanding into like just expanding more and feeling like things are coming easier to you, or like it's easier to take a risk in that area of your life. But yeah, like just having Jupiter and like all that represents like travel, education, writing, publishing, like maybe it's just easier to take action on anything related to those themes of Jupiter, because Aries is so like, let's get this done, like let's go. So those themes related to Jupiter may just come up more.
Yes, I love that. And just keeping in mind, like Alice had said, it is a longer transit. So keeping that in mind as well.
Yeah. And also like the eclipses will shift into Aries starting in 2023, next Aries season. So like, honestly, this ingress of Jupiter into Aries is setting the stage for even more changes going on that Aries part of your chart. So I would definitely go back and listen to that Jupiter transit episode we just recorded.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Okay. So we already mentioned May 10th with Jupiter entering Aries, but that's a big day in astrology because mm-hmm. we also have Mercury stationing retrograde in Gemini.
Yeah. The whole second week of May, as you'll see, is like the busiest peak time of the month. So I'm like not sure what's going to happen that week, but it's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a very chaotic energy because there's just so much happening at once and you might feel a little pulled in different directions. So just keeping that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And this Mercury retrograde in Gemini will last until June 3rd. So it's like a 3-week period where basically every time Mercury is retrograde, you're going to notice maybe a delay with plans you have recently started. So maybe it's like there's been a lot of momentum going on with like signing a contract at work or getting projects into place. And then that Mercury retrograde hits and suddenly it's like things are taking a lot longer than usual or there's some confusion with how to move forward and things just getting delayed and kind of annoying.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. No, honestly, it is because it kind of frustrates efforts related to Mercury. And Mercury is all about communication as a big keyword. So it might be that you have more misunderstandings or you're feeling a little bit misunderstood yourself, in addition to what you were saying to Alice.
Also, Mercury is like your thoughts. So I always noticed during Mercury retrograde, if I've been having a problem with someone and not really been facing it, that Mercury retrograde will tend to bring up like a lot of recurring thoughts about this situation that's been troubling me. And like, it kind of makes you face that situation. And maybe it's like, you just want to give a lot of thought into how to confront someone or bring up whatever's been troubling you.
Yeah, it kind of brings back things that you were sweeping under the rug or also things that just need to come to the light in terms of communicating how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just like reviewing anything related to communication. So important conversations you need to have with someone, communication-based tasks at work, emails, text messages, anything like that. It's definitely not a period where you need to like freak out though and like mm-hmm. decide not to make any decisions. I feel like I get a lot of people being like, so should I move during Mercury retrograde? I thought that was off limits. It really only brings troubles with moving if Gemini is your fourth house, or maybe you have a Gemini moon. That's when there might be issues pertaining to the home or the family coming up at that time.
Yeah. And even still, when you know about that, I mean, of course, yeah, things can still happen that aren't ideal, but you're more aware of it. So then you can use that change in a more constructive way.
Mm-hmm. Also, one last thing I'd say about Mercury retrograde is if you suddenly have this feeling of like, wait, what am I doing next with my life? I feel really confused. I'm not sure of my next plan. That's so normal for those thoughts to come up during Mercury retrograde. So I just like let yourself sit with them, not freak out or make any like rash decisions. And that should lift once that retrograde's over.
Yeah. And in terms of timing, so it begins May 10th and it ends June 3rd. However, even as you're listening to this before then, perhaps you're already feeling the pre-shadow. So just meaning that you might already be starting to notice some of these themes are kicking in.
Yeah, definitely. The shadow periods are important to note.
Yeah. And as a Gemini rising, I'm very, very interested to see what this brings up. The last time we had Mercury retrograde in Gemini was last spring. And so I'm feeling, yeah, I'm just thinking about different themes related to that. Because if you also are curious to think of what happened May, June 2021, those themes might resurface in a different way.
Do you have any idea of like what it might mean for you? I guess like moving is a huge one.
Yeah. Yes, totally. So if you are a Gemini rising, you'll be affected a ton because this is your first house. And last time we moved and now we're moving again, which is kind of funny because Mercury retrogrades, when you do move during a Mercury retrograde, it can bring up this feeling of, I don't know, almost it's not permanent. you mm-hmm. know, there's something about it that might need to shift.
Also, if you have like Gemini as your sun sign, I feel like when a Mercury retrograde happens, like in the sign of your sun, that's pretty, it can be like pretty frustrating. And maybe it might even like amplify those feelings of like, what am I doing next? Who am I? Like those kind of like identity questions.
Yes, definitely. And my partner is also a Gemini sun.
Oh my God.
And so that, I think that's why it's been just so big in terms of moving for both of us.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so later that week, we're still in the second week of May. There's so much going on. May 15th, there's a lunar eclipse in Scorpio. So this is the second of the eclipses. I want to go over like the difference between a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse in case people are confused about that. What would you say is like the major difference there?
Ooh, okay, so first off, lunar versus solar eclipses is that a lunar eclipse is basically a super powerful full moon, and then solar eclipse, super powerful new moon. So solar eclipse, new starts, lunar eclipse, kind of full circle moments or needing to let something go.
Yeah, exactly. Like a solar eclipse is like, okay, this new beginning is just coming to me and it'll continue to unfold over a few months, but it's just starting. Like I'm just getting that new job or this relationship's just beginning to form. And then the lunar eclipse period is really like heightened activity where you're seeing concrete, visible results from whatever you've been working on, or you're like releasing something that isn't working and coming, you're just like having a lot of realizations going on in your life of like, oh my God, this relationship is not what I need to be doing. It's time to move on. Or I'm so in love with this person. I want to get engaged. Like bringing about like a huge pivotal turning point, basically, with a lunar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lunar eclipses can give you so much clarity, whereas I feel like solar eclipses, it really does depend. So I'm hesitant to be like super black and white for your specific chart. But yeah, lunar eclipses, more realizations, and solar eclipses can kind of be a fresh start, but you don't know how you're going to get there or how it will pan out. So it's a little more uncertainty, even if it's a fresh start for a solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now that we made that distinction, getting into like the lunar eclipse in Scorpio, Scorpio is a very emotionally intense sign. So having a lunar eclipse here might bring up a lot of repressed emotions or anxieties, or just like really having you want to do like internal healing, looking at certain patterns and behaviors you can transform and improve upon. I feel like transformation is like key when we're talking about Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Transformation and change, and also maybe bringing up some power struggles too. So whether that's in relationships, I feel like lunar eclipse also can bring up a big key theme of relationships, or even within yourself, maybe you're noticing where you get in your own way.
Yeah, like Scorpio has a lot to do with like the intimacy you're having in relationships, and maybe how can you overcome blocks preventing greater intimacy, or how can you open up emotionally to someone and get closer?
Yes, definitely. Like wanting to just really deepen that relationship. So I'm excited for the lunar eclipse in Scorpio for relationship developments for people.
Yeah, and it's in the house of your chart that's exactly opposite where the Taurus solar eclipse is falling. So there might be like a push-pull. Like if you have a career-related Taurus solar eclipse, it's like, okay, but you're balancing that with your personal life or your mental health. Or like if you have a self-focused, like if you're a Taurus rising and the Taurus solar eclipse is all about you and self-discovery, it's like, okay, balancing that now with the relationships in your life with that lunar eclipse opposite.
Ooh, I'm so happy you brought that up too, because yeah, it's thinking about those themes we mentioned for the Taurus solar eclipse on the 30th of April. This does balance it out, and also maybe asks you, maybe you're realizing something that is getting in your way, that if you let go of it, you'll make space for that new change of the Taurus themes we mentioned for you.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy how literal this stuff is. Like,
yeah,
it's like career is such my focus right now, but I know once that lunar eclipse hits in my fourth house of home and family, I'm literally moving like the next few weeks right after that. So,
so
it's like,
true. Yeah,
it's like bring your attention. Like, I know you're busy with career, but like bring it back down to like changing your living situation and feeling more grounded there.
Yes, such a give and take. And so, yeah, that lunar eclipse will be really helpful as a balancing kind of check-in point midway through the month.
Yes. And definitely an emotional time. So
yeah. Yeah, it does bring up really heightened emotions on full moons, but especially a lunar eclipse. So mm-hmm. that is definitely something to be mindful of.
Yes. Okay, so then we get into the next week, May 18th. I guess the main thing happening here is Gemini season begins, but right before that, Mars meets up with Neptune in Pisces. Not my favorite transit.
An understatement, yeah. Do you want to explain why it's not your favorite?
Yeah, I just feel like whenever Mars makes an aspect to Neptune, especially like Mars in Pisces conjunct Neptune in Pisces, it just is like this feeling of like just being so unsure of where you need to direct your energy, and maybe feeling very sensitive or low energy, or just kind of doubting yourself or comparing yourself to others. So definitely watch out for those types of feelings, and maybe try to catch yourself if you fall into like some sort of spiral or loop like that. But on a more positive note, I guess Mars conjunct Neptune is really about stepping outside yourself and maybe doing things to help other people, or getting a lot of like creative inspiration, like wanting to put your energy towards something spiritual or artistic.
Yes. Yeah. It can be both and as well. So you might be feeling, especially since it will be a waning moon at that point, you might be feeling, okay, there's been so much a flurry of activities the first part of May. And then with May 18th, that conjunction just asks you to integrate and to slow down so you can actually feel into where you want to go next rather than just going and doing more things.
Yeah. So I'd say like May 17th, 18th, 19th might be kind of tricky days out of that week. But once that passes, then we move into Gemini season, and that's a great light social energy.
Yeah. And just so you know, this starts May 20th with Gemini season. And that is, more generally speaking, a more social time. Of course, it does depend on your specific birth chart.
Yeah. It's like what we talked about with the sun in Taurus, like Taurus season at the beginning of the podcast, and the solar eclipse in Taurus. Now the sun's moving to the next house over in your chart. So like where, I'm trying to think of a rising sign as an example. I hate giving my chart as the example for like all of these. What's another? Okay. Like, yeah. Let's do like Sag rising, where it may have been super work and routine focused during Taurus season. Now Gemini season opens you up to have more time for relationships and dating in your personal life. So seeing a shift in like a different part of your chart being highlighted.
Yeah. And generally speaking, it's almost like there's a swap of energies from early in the month. So if you were more extroverted, maybe now you're more introverted. If you had a lot of ideas and not as much action, now it's okay, it's time to put your head down and get to work. So you can notice kind of a flip flop. But yeah, just continuing on the next iteration of how you can get to your goal with this new energy of Gemini season.
Yeah. But going back to like Gemini season in general, like you said, more emphasis on socializing, like widening your network, also staying curious. Like maybe you just have the urge to learn about a variety of different topics or tend to communication-based projects.
Yes, and I'm super biased because I am a Gemini rising, but I feel like it's such a playful energy for Gemini season. So people are more curious, they are more open and friendly, more generally speaking. And yeah, you might even want to communicate more, even as there is the retrograde still going on. You might just notice that there's this desire to put yourself out there in new ways or even reconnect with old friends.
And this always is the busiest period of the year. Like it's the time where it's really warm outside, everyone's socializing before they go away on like summer vacation or whatever. And it just feels like there's so much going on and so many people reaching out.
Yes. So definitely being open, I would say, to different people coming into your life is a really great way generally to use that. And also, like Alice, you were saying, to stay curious. So maybe you're wanting to learn something new or wanting to, I don't know, develop new interests, that kind of thing. So definitely being open is a key thing to remember.
Yes. Love Gemini season. Okay. Then we're getting into the last few days of May. May 24th, Mars enters Aries and it immediately meets up with Jupiter on May 28th, a few days later. So this is a great, like where we just talked about Mars meeting up with Neptune and feeling like, where do I direct my energy? I feel like directionless or just like doubting kind of what to do next. Mars meeting up with Jupiter and Aries will be just such more like high energy. You're making quick decisions. You're more sure of where you need to be directing your efforts.
Ooh, yeah. So you go from being a little bit confused, maybe a waiting period, and then around the end of the month, that comes back with just feeling so much more confident and sure of yourself.
Yeah. And like Jupiter's all about taking risks and having things, like having the faith that things will work out. So having a planet like Mars trigger it around this time, like the very last few days of May, means that maybe that's that push you need to make that change or take a trip somewhere or start off a new project. Like it's just such positive energy for beginning something.
Yeah. And even having Mars in Aries, which is the sign that it rules, I feel like that can be just really extra supportive of those Martian themes of taking action, taking initiative, being more confident and going after what you really want, not the second best choice, just really wanting to go all in.
Yeah. Or like putting yourself first or like assuming a leadership position in some area of your life.
Yeah. So definitely, as we mentioned, Jupiter being in Aries, that will just be a bigger theme highlighted with Mars into Aries there too.
I would say only downside is maybe being a little bit impatient or like, yeah. Especially when it meets up with Jupiter, like agreeing to a lot more than you can handle. So maybe just be mindful of like, what do you actually have time for? Be kind of realistic at that time.
Yeah, spreading yourself way too thin if you aren't already aware of what your priorities are. So I would say going into that transit when Mars enters Aries on May 24th, if you don't already have your priorities in check, allow yourself to write it out or to really get clear on where are you going to use this really helpful, supportive energy for change and taking action. Otherwise, you'll just end up doing everything for everyone else and nothing for yourself.
Exactly. Okay, so then we move on to May 28th. Venus is entering Taurus. So even though Taurus season is over by this point, we still got Venus moving into it. And Venus rules Taurus. So this is a sign it feels really comfortable in. So you may see kind of like more peace or you feel more at ease in your romantic or your personal life relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a more sensual sign, more embodied and like a literal manifestation. You might want to be out in nature more or you might want to be in relationships that really just make you feel so much comfort. And after Taurus season, it might actually help you to resolve any issues that you had come up during the first part of the month or even just continuing in a more positive way the themes of the Taurus eclipse.
Yeah, definitely like bringing up like resolving problems brought up, like you said. Yeah. I would also say because Venus represents finances and money sometimes, it's having it in Taurus means you may want to splurge a lot more and buy new, especially on like things that are like luxury items, like new clothing, beauty products, artwork, just wanting to treat yourself.
I'm laughing to myself because we were just talking about Mars and Aries and now Venus and Taurus. And it's I have like both of much. Those in my chart.
Impulsive buying.
Yeah. Yes. So you will experience that just for the transit. I experience that all the time.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of jealous. That's such a good sign to have Venus in.
It helps me in some ways. But yeah, definitely I would say the downside of this that you might actually be feeling with this transit could be even as you want to start new things, you have to be willing to let go of the familiar to get you there because Venus in Taurus loves comfort.
I would say, I know this kind of gets more into June because as Venus moves into Taurus, it will inevitably square Saturn, which is still in Aquarius. And I know a huge theme of like Venus being in Taurus is like wanting more stability or security in your relationships, especially when it comes into that square with Saturn closer to like middle of June. There might be like, okay, where am I going in this relationship? Or how can I get more serious about someone I'm dating? So you may start to feel that like a little towards the end of May, but something to watch out for a little after it.
Yeah, and definitely I would say feeling that because we actually didn't mention this, but Mercury retrograde, it will dip into Taurus a little bit. So there could be rethinking those themes, especially in regards to relationship or finances, like you mentioned, Alice.
Yeah, like that Taurus, it's still not, that Taurus part of your chart is still not done with the transits. Like, there's still going to be activity going on there after Taurus season ends.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Okay, so we close out the month of May right on May 30th with the new moon in Gemini.
Yes, I'm so excited for this new moon. I can't wait for it. It's such a good one too, because actually we were just talking about the Mars conjunct Jupiter in Aries, and that's going to be sextiling this new moon. So that's really powerful for not only a new moon, fresh start, but also taking action on your goals and feeling more optimistic and hopeful there.
Oh my God, I did not realize that sextile was going on. That's amazing. Right?
I know.
I love when majority of planets are in air and fire. Like, it's such a great energy.
I know. And that's like the only, I mean, we both feel that because we both have fire and air rising signs. So if you have a water earth rising, you may feel, I don't know, at least a little less excited as well.
Yeah.
<can do.
laughs> Yeah, but I see the new moon is just like, again, like we talk about new moons on every forecast episode, but that's really like when you get a burst of new energy. But like in the hours and even like couple days leading up to the new moon being exact, that's like kind of the most anxious or low energy time of the month. So like May 28th, May 29th, kind of dragging your feet, or like, when is stuff happening? Like, I'm kind of anxious, or I want to get stuff going, but it's not happening yet.
Yes, that's so important, because yeah, that's the dark of the moon phase. And so it is really that last push of clearing out a lot of the cobwebs almost from the past 2 weeks. And I would say especially with this one, you might feel that anxiety because it was not only a full moon 2 weeks prior, but that lunar eclipse. So yeah, definitely knowing that May 30th, you might feel a lot lighter.
Yeah, it's like the first moon phase after the eclipses. That's important to note for sure. And then I would say like around this time, maybe like at the end of May, you want to write out like a list of goals or intentions you want to accomplish in June. The new moon is the best time to do that and kind of get clear on what do you want to accomplish over the next month.
Yes. I mean, I always am so into rituals for new and full moons, every single new and full moon.
But, yes.
Yeah, definitely allowing yourself to be intentional with that, because you do have this ability to work with the energy rather than just being tossed around. So that's why I definitely recommend that.
And you'll notice right either right on this new moon or like in the few days that follow, like the week, 2 weeks that follow, you're seeing new opportunities, new relationships come into your life. So you are getting that fresh start headed into June.
Yeah, and I would say also everyone's affected by it, because everyone has all the signs in your birth chart, so look for the house. But also if you have a Gemini rising like me, or you have your moon or sun or personal planets in Gemini or even angles, you'll just feel it more strongly. So pay attention to that one.
Yeah, and then the Mercury retrograde ends like late June 2nd, early June 3rd. So like really like 2-3 days after this new moon, Mercury retrograde's over, kind of getting greater clarity, moving forward with greater confidence.
Yes. Okay, perfect place to end there.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening, and we will be back in the fall, maybe late summer.
Yeah, we will miss you. So make sure you follow us on Instagram if you want other astrology updates, if you miss us, or we'll put the links below for our courses as well.
Yes. Okay, see you guys soon.
Bye. Yeah.